Thank you for the introduction. As you said already, my name is John Williams. I'm a PhD student at Mississippi State University, working under the direction of Dr. Darren Dodds. Today, I wanted to talk to you all about a study of ours trying to see if we can maximize the efficacy of our glufosinate applications. So when we think about glufosinate, herbicide effectiveness, we have to think about first herbicide movement. So what kind of herbicide are we using? Are we using a contact herbicide, a systemic herbicide, and plus also what's the likelihood of the parent material moving off target, such as maybe volatility? Next, we need to look at our target. So what's our target weed species? Is it a grass? Is it a broadleaf weed? Next, environmental factors. Environmental factors such as wind, temperature, humidity, those kind of factors can also play effect in efficacy. Also, adjuvants. Does the parent material or the active ingredient need a certain adjuvant, such as maybe an oil? But mainly, we want to look at application factors. Application factors such as nozzle selection, which you can change your orifice size, your pressures, your operating speed, and your spray volume. But overall, all these factors on this slide all play into effect and directly affect your droplet size and also, most importantly, your off-target movement. So recently there's been interest in increasing droplet size to mitigate off-target movement. We've been trying to make sure that all of our herbicide applications are going on target, making sure that we're not drifting onto said neighbors, making sure we're not damaging any adjacent crops. But also what we need to think of is increasing droplet size may also have an enhanced chance of increasing negative biological consequences. So we need to think of, say, if we have low efficacy out of a herbicide, we could also increase the selection pressure for resistance out of that weed. But typically when we're talking about contact herbicides, usually smaller droplets are necessary to increase the efficacy of those herbicides, and systemic herbicides are usually less sensitive to droplet size. So another thing we think about in drift mitigation, we think of DRAs or drift reduction agents, and these are typically added to the tank to try to reduce the likelihood of drift. And typically these DRA polymers thicken the spray solution, and so we're thickening the solution, which will thus reduce the amount of driftable fines. And typically the driftable fines are defined as any size droplet that's less than 105 microns. So there's really small research on looking at drift reduction agents and seeing if there's actually any added efficacy associated with that. So in conclusion, or with our objective, we wanted to look at the effect of pre-herbicide use, spray droplet size, and DRA use on glufosinate efficacy. So to jump in materials and methods, the location was We conducted this trial in 2019 at Hood Farms in Dundee, Mississippi. Cotton was planted on the 10th of June with a well-represented variety of Delta Pine 1646 Bolgard 2 ExtendFlex. And the treatment structure was a 2x2x6 factorial arrangement of treatments in a randomized complete block design with 4 replications. In this study, we included 3 factors. First, herbicide system. We wanted to look at a pre-herbicide system and a no-pre-herbicide system. And the pre that we chose was fluometuron at 1.1 kilogram of AI per hectare. Next, our second factor was tank mix. We used glufosinate at 0.59 kilogram of AI per hectare. And the second, we wanted to include a DRA, or our drift reduction agent. So we used the same rate and same parent material of glufosinate, and we added Intact, which Intact is a guar gum drift reduction agent. And typically it's added to labels in a chance to try to reduce the likelihood of drift, because typically these herbicides are applied with small droplets. And then our last factor, we wanted to look at droplet size. So we used 6 droplet sizes, ranging from 150 microns to 900 microns in increments of 150. To achieve all these and figure out what we're actually going to use, We went to University of Nebraska, and there we actually figured out and characterized which droplets and which nozzles and pressures we needed. And these were all characterized in a low-speed wind tunnel at University of Nebraska PAT lab over in North Platte. And they used a laser diffraction system to figure out what the spray spectrum was. So when it comes to our field application parameters, to apply all these pressures and all these nozzles and the applications, we used a capstan pulse width modulation sprayer, and we used a speed of 14.5 kilometers per hour, but we wanted to use that speed to try to simulate a grower speed in their field. And we used a spray volume of 140 liters per hectare, which is the minimum requirement for glufosinate. And most importantly, we wanted to use Wilger Precision Spray technology tips. And for this pulse width modulation system, you have to use these non-Venturi nozzles. And just to try to eliminate confounding spray factors, we wanted to use all similar nozzles, which were all flat fan non-Venturi nozzles. These were the data from University of Nebraska. This table is just really showing each tank mix and then each droplet size and the nozzle and pressure that was required to achieve said droplet size. For data collection, it consisted of visual Palmer amaranth control 7 and 14 days after application on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 resulting in no control, 100% resulting in complete control of Palmer amaranth. Next was weed density, and weed density was measured at 7 and 14 days after applications. The experimental design was a randomized complete block design with 4 replication, and these data were subjected to an analysis of variance using PROC-GLM and SAS 9.4, and mean separated using Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha of 0.05. First, I want to go over the achieved droplet sizes that were applied. So first off, this was an interaction between droplet size and tank mix. So droplet size is on the left, and our target droplet size is on the bottom as the x-axis. Red bars represent glufosinate alone, and the gray bars represent glufosinate when intact was in the tank mix. And really what we want to look at here was really the 100 micron droplet size, where intact increased the actual achieved droplet size about 50 microns. And also we wanted to look at driftable fines, because as we've been talking about earlier, was off-target movement, controlling off-target movement, that kind of thing. So here we looked at driftable fines in the spray. Driftable fines were affected by tank mix and droplet size independently. So when we look on the left, tank mix, adding intact did reduce the amount of driftable fines in that spray. Next, we'll look at droplet size on the right. As you increase the spray droplet size, that significantly decreased the driftable fines. But one thing we want to look at is how many driftable fines were actually in the 150 droplet size. It's about fourfold more than 300 droplet size, or even 450. First, we'll start going over the actual results of the study, looking at visual Palmer amaranth control 7 days after application. These data were pulled over herbicide system, so our pre-system, and also pulled over our tank mix. So we have Palmer amaranth control on the left side and droplet size on our x-axis. And as we can see, there's a negative linear correlation. And so as we increased our droplet size, we ended up having reduced efficacy out of our herbicide. And here's some pictures just to illustrate it, with 150 on the left, 600 in the middle, and 900 microns on the far right. We can easily see that larger droplets did reduce our efficacy. Next, 7 days later, so 14 days after application for visual Palmer amaranth control, same graph, but we see the same trend again, but just a little less efficacy. Same thing, there's a negative linear trend when it comes to droplet size, and as we increase our droplet size, we had less efficacy. And same thing again, we have 150, 600, and 900 microns, with 900 resulting in the least amount of control. Next, we wanted to look at Palmer amaranth density, and this is 14 days after application, and this is all pulled over tank mix and herbicide system. And as we increase our droplet size, we ended up leaving some plants out there that did not completely die, and we didn't completely control, so we had higher densities in those larger droplet size plots. So in conclusion, all these conclusions will directly answer all of our objectives and questions. So the use of a pre-herbicide, it did delay applications 23 days, but it did not have any impact on Palmer amaranth control or density with our glufosinate application. Next, talking about Intact. Although Intact did significantly reduce the amount of driftable fines in our spray, it did not increase the efficacy of our glufosinate through Palmer amaranth control nor density. But the most important thing we need to look at was droplet size, and it had the greatest effect on Palmer amaranth control. So overall, droplet sizes of 150 and 300 microns provided the greatest control out of Palmer amaranth. So this research agrees with Butts et al. From 2018, and they found that a medium-sized droplet provided the greatest efficacy, but Creech et al. 2016 keeps us in check. It says, make sure that you actually look at different weeds, because different weed species actually have different or require different droplet sizes to provide your greatest control of the weeds. So things to think about. This research, previous research, has shown that determining optimum droplet size is important to make sure we're maximizing all of our herbicide applications. But then managing our drift potential is also crucial to try to mitigate off-target movement. So in conclusion, although these fine droplet sizes provided great control of Palmer amaranth, medium droplet sizes will reduce our driftable fines while not sacrificing any of our herbicide efficacy. So future research, we'd like to apply this study to different target weeds. We'd like to look at different weeds with all these tank mixes and herbicide spectrums, and then also evaluate various herbicides and look at their unique, most efficacious droplet size. I'd like to acknowledge Mississippi State and University of Nebraska PAT Lab. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Wilger Industries for providing us tips. Fellow grad students and student workers, couldn't have done it with everybody or without anybody. And with like that, I'd like to take any questions.